Can you have a stable income as a freelance translator? Coming up. Hello and welcome back to The Freelancers. Thanks for coming back to the channel once again. Today it's time for another Q&A on the channel. In 2024, I'm doing every second Q&A in a live stream format and every other Q&A in a pre-recorded session. So this one is pre-recorded. As always, I take the questions from the last session. So if you would like to be involved in the upcoming one, just ask your questions down below. Let's get right ahead so we can answer as many questions as I can. The number one comes from Liddy's Translation. Thank you, Adrian, for this interesting video. I have a question. How do you create a link with your direct clients? Do you make them sign a contract? If so, do you have a rough template for it? Do you take into consideration the laws of the country of origin of the client? Thank you for your insight. Okay, a couple of questions in there. In terms of how to make a link with them, I would suggest you watch one of my recent videos on how to find clients in 2024. I'm going to link it up here, because there I go in depth how to reach out to direct clients. It's very important that you create a link first before you reach out to them. We call that warm prospecting. So you make a connection with the client, you know a person there, you know the name of a person, you maybe previously talked to them, you met them at a conference, and then you can refer back to this previous meeting or this previous contact, and you're much more likely to get a positive response. Do you make them sign a contract? Yes, preferably. If so, you have a rough template. Yes, I do. And you take the laws of your country of origin into account, where you are. It doesn't matter where your client is, because as a freelance translator, you will have clients all over the world. It matters in a way, or at least for me, the only thing matters is when I charge VAT or not. So for clients in Belgium, in the country where I am, I have to charge VAT. For clients outside of the country, I overlay the VAT, so they deal with it by themselves in their country, so I don't even charge it. That's basically it. There are many freelancer or even translators templates online that you can use. I think even Pros has one, if I'm not mistaken. They have to be just very basic. You know, I don't have an NDA, for example. I just have a normal TNCs, terms and conditions, T's and C's or TNCs. I never know how to say the abbreviation. I don't use that for agencies because they usually have their own, but with direct clients, especially for a long-term collaboration, it's advisable to have that. Thank you for that. Moving on to question number two from Daniele Abundo. Hi Adrian, I will graduate from a master's degree in foreign languages for business, nice, by next year, and I'm planning to start as a freelance translator specializing in business finance over time. I like translating, but after having heard very mixed feedback from many people, I have constant fears about translation alone, not having enough demand income in my language pairs to support myself. What other services aside from translation and interpreting could I offer as a language professional if translation alone wouldn't provide a stable income? It's a good question, Daniele. I don't know your language specialization. Your name sounds Italian or Spanish, so maybe into Italian, into Spanish. There's definitely demand for these specializations that you mentioned. Business and finance is very broad, so you can have that as a broad specialization. I made a video last week, I think, about how to find your specialization. So maybe go through these seven steps that I explained there to narrow down what exactly you want to do within business and finance, because that's too broad. Like business especially, it's an incredibly big field. And if you want to be an expert in business, but you have to kind of decide which parts of business you want to go down on. What other services you can offer? There are endless services, right? Language services in general can vary from, you know, proofreading, reviewing, editing, copywriting, translating, subtitling, transcribing, post-editing. What else is there? Ghostwriting, language consulting, interpreting, dubbing, voiceover. I'm sure I'm forgetting a few, but definitely don't limit yourself. Don't put yourself in the box as just being a translator. You know, people like this term, so you can definitely call yourself that, but there are so many services you can offer as a language service professional. Tony HDTIS, I'm not sure how to say your name, asks about the last topic. This is a comment on a specific video that I mentioned, that if you have experience in another field, Definitely use that to your advantage. He or she says, I'm a musician and I worked as a music teacher for about 8 years, but I don't think it is useful in the translation industry. Not a question per se, but kind of, it seems like it's a comment for help, you know, if someone writes that, I don't think this is helpful. It's definitely helpful, right? You 8 years as a music teacher, you know so much about music theory, about music in general. You can definitely make that your specialization, right? No question about it. It's a huge market. You don't need to specifically think of music teacher as your knowledge, but the whole world of music, sound engineering, sound architecture in general, right? It's definitely a great way to, if you want to pivot into translation, to have 8 years experience in a field. It's the best you can have. Next one is from Afshin Hussain. How many languages should I specialize to become a freelance translator? Okay, so usually people would work from maybe 1 to 3 source languages into 1, maximum 2 target language. So for me, I have 2 source languages, English and French, 1 target language, German. Within German, I have different services. I offer German for Switzerland, sometimes even Swiss German, and also German for Germany. So if you ask me, I would advise you to have 1 to 3 source languages and 1 target language. Depends a bit where you're from. This seems to be an Arabic name, so maybe you speak Arabic and then you have a different dialect within your country. That's great. You can offer services into standard and also into your country's dialect. This is always a good, like, you still have 1 target language per se, but then you have different splits and you can market yourself as a local translator for this country. But I know plenty of people who just simply have 1 language combination, you know, English, French, English, Spanish. If that's where you can excel, if that's how you want to market yourself, perfectly fine. For me, I'm happy with my combination of having 2 source and 1 target. Human Poll 93, I think he or she has 2 questions actually. Do you recommend investing in a club or association where you can meet other translators? For example, here in Spain, there is a well-known translators club. You have to pay a monthly fee to join, but I think it has many advantages. Would you recommend it to someone who is about to become a freelancer? Very good question. Thank you. I assume, well, I don't know the Spanish Translators Club, but I assume you mean associations, translators associations, because that's where you pay a fee and then you can join the community and the association. That's definitely a great way to go. I still haven't done it. I really should. I want to join the Belgian one and the Swiss one, but they both have, I don't know, it's just both, it's a process you have to kind of invest time in it, into it, and I have it prepared, it's in my calendar, but I still haven't gotten around to it, but that's definitely on my plate for this year. I recommend joining associations and clubs, but I wouldn't bother about it when you're just about to become a freelancer. This should not be something that's on your list as a first thing to do, you know. You can, down the line, you can join these places. Mostly will have to have experience anyway. You maybe have to show a portfolio. So this is something maybe for your first, second, third year to join these places. I wouldn't think of that in the beginning. But it's definitely worth it because you will also, usually you also get invited to events there. You can network. Networking is always good. These are mostly people in your language combination, so you can learn from them. And people also sometimes go to these associations and look up in the register if they are looking for a specific translator. So you might be approached by clients as well. And I think there was another question from the same person. Yes, can I translate without any cut tools? Isn't that unprofessional? If a client sends you a project, being a newbie, and then resend it to the client, can they know about how you did the translation? What do you think? Okay, so the question is whether you need to use cut tools. No, you don't. It's advisable, but you don't need to. It's not unprofessional if you don't. If you just say you don't work with them, that's your style of working, that's fine. Can the client know what you used to send it, if you send it back? That depends. If they send you a package in a specific CAD tool, like a Trados package or a MemoQ package, then they can, not always. So you can receive a Trados package, work on it in MemoQ, and send the Trados package back, right? Because MemoQ is compatible with all these packages. So there they wouldn't know unless it's really a complicated file, then it might mess up the formatting a bit. But if it's a standard file, they wouldn't know what you used. But you can't, for example, if they send you a package in a cut tool, you can't just work on it in Word and then send the Word back, right? Because they expect you to send a return package from the same CAD tool. But what the client can do is they can grant you a license for one specific project. So they send you a project license, you work on it. Once you send it back, the license goes back with the project. If you don't have a CAD tool yet in the beginning, you can ask the client if they can grant you a project-specific license. I would definitely not recommend to buy a CAD tool before you have started working. That's something, again, as for the other question you had, both of these things I would think about once you've found a few clients and you have a steady workflow before it's not really needed and not really worth the investment, right? Because investing into a CAD tool costs you easily like $500-$600. So it doesn't make sense if you're not sure if you will ever get any jobs. So first think about everything else. Again, make sure to watch this video to get started, and then you can think about these things later on. Yes, one last one from Georgia. Hi Adrian, thank you for this video. I'm just getting started. What do you suggest to write to agencies that don't have a career page on their website? So this is in reference to a video I made a long time ago. When you go on a agency's website, they usually have a join us, a career, a jobs button where you can fill in their form and, you know, get in touch with them. Georgia asked what to do if they don't have that. For that, you would have to, there is for sure somewhere on the website a way to get in touch with them. So I would just either reach out to them via email, or I would go on LinkedIn, look up their name and find who works there. If you find a vendor manager or maybe a language manager in this agency, I would reach out to them briefly and ask, hey, how can I apply to be a freelancer? If they give you an email to reach out to them, then check out this video, how to reach out to agencies. There I explain my approaches, how I reach out to them, because it's a very different approach to how you reach out to direct clients. You have to keep that in mind. It's a different transaction there. There you go. These were all 7 questions of this week. I hope this was helpful to all of you and you can learn from these questions. Thanks to everyone who asked questions. I'm going to put up the names of all the channel members here. Thank you so much for your ongoing support. It means a lot. If you yourself want to become a channel member of the Freelanceverse, there should be a join button right next down there under my name. You never have to do that. This is just a bonus. If you want to keep these videos going, if you want to share some feedback, you can join and become a Freelanceverse member, and you will have a little icon next to your comments. Thank you ever so much for watching, and I see you next week with another episode. Bye bye.